Greetings. This is Nigeria Anderson, and I have Al Diaz on the line with me, a graffiti artist, and we're going to talk about some things. He has an exhibit coming up. Introduce yourself and tell, give a little history.
I'm Al Diaz, and I am a first-generation graffiti artist in New York City. I have been involved in graffiti culture since 1971, which was basically first generation. As a result, I've seen the evolution first from what was an underground youth culture to semi-socially accepted a global phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still involved in this, this lifestyle, and it has proven to be, it's who I am. I'm a big part of who I am.
How did you get into graffiti? What intrigued you about...
What really inspired me, to be quite honest, is I was 12 years old, and I got searching for an identity like a 12-year-old would be, and I thought that the guys who were doing it, who I was introduced to up in Washington Heights, who were a cousin of mine, were pretty... They had a certain edge, a certain style, and I kind of wanted that. So it was very alluring to someone like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think it was a sense of adventure, sense of delinquency, element. Definitely an adventure. I guess sport back then, because it was all about volume, getting your name around. I think the art factor was a little less so.
So you ever get chased by the cops?
No, not just cops, but property owners, building bus drivers, building superintendents, all kinds of people.
Lord have mercy. So when I say hip hop and graffiti, is that a marriage or what's the connection?
Well, that is definitely a misconstrued concept, because it's like if you assign any genre of music to any group of people, there's a very diverse and always has been a very diverse group of people that were involved with graffiti.
Uh-huh.
So say that is actually a heated argument. There's guys who were like graffiti legends, who were listening to like death metal, or God knows what, and have nothing to do with hip hop culture. So you can't. It's like saying, oh, those are the people that he appreciates. Meanwhile, half of them are allergic and the other ones can't smell a fish. So that's a blanket statement. It's a generalization. So I think that I stay away from ever confirming that,
Wow.
To us as graffiti artists, simply not always the case.
Wow. They had me right there. I thought there was a connection.
Well, it's true. I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Right.
And I'm talking about not actual participants of graffiti culture and not those reporting it. Because, even the people that to be some sort of art historians tend to throw street art and graffiti in as one thing and comes to suit. And even though they are related, they come from very distinct groups of people,
Right.
And a graffiti artist, first of all, my generation, graffiti artist was, the average age was between 9 and 14.
Okay.
And, no one had an MFA and was, going to the city, to the community board and, asking to do murals or anything. It was a very different dynamic. And, street art, from the inside perspective, it's generally a little more academic, but it's usually more visually figurative. It's not so much letters and name and number. So even though it is the appropriation of public space, it's not necessarily one thing. Is not it's not the same as the other, although they have elements that they share. So even though hip hop may have been involved with people from the graffiti community may have been involved with the development of hip hop. Not direct. There's people like Team One who are adamant, or Terrell 51, who are adamant about, oh, we had nothing to do with graffiti culture. Yet they are people who have true rank in the graffiti community.
Right. So give me a little background about graffiti. What is it to you? What style of art is it considered?
Well, graffiti, it can be offensive. It can be artistic. It can be But now, it's it depends on who's doing it and what the intent is.
Okay.
From the very beginning, there were people that showed talent. Like a fellow who was called Phase 2 back then and the first to be called True now. And, you know, he's one of the pioneers of the band and showed talent for developing styles of letters and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then there were guys who were just more, you know, considered more like vandals. I can think of people like Ian, who was the first guy to really cover doing thousands and thousands of just two-letter names that were, you know, that didn't look particularly artistically done, but there was so much of it. So
right.
It was a different spin on it. It was about coverage as opposed to, you know, doing beautiful work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a broad spectrum. The graffiti, for me, has always been, you know, there's a certain delinquency involved. There's a certain rejection of rules and regulations.
Okay.
A mindset, an attitude, which is why the hate culture or other culture, the gang culture, have adapted the use or the style of graffiti because it has a rebellious nature to the whole history.
Wow, I like how you correlated the gang culture, borrowing that in its delinquency and making such a statement.
I think it goes back and forth, because I believe that gang culture also influenced me as well.
Oh, okay.
For instance, this is a very, and this needs to be discussed. Some people think that Basquiat invented a three-pointed crown, which is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were graffiti artists, and he would tell you that story.
Mm-hmm.
He just appropriated symbols that were ubiquitous throughout street culture and represented them as a, just like something that you've probably seen by his mind. And that was part of his alphabet. But the crown, and I mean, I've had people that were never exposed to this sort of imagery, like from Spain, you know, sending messages and DMs and whatnot, saying that how they're so glad that we invented. It's good, and that crown has been around way before any of us were born. It was used and purposed and reissued many times. People have like early Latin kings having their forearm. It's just that a ubiquitous, you know, symbol that was eventually adopted by culture. So it goes back and forth. All these cultures influence each other.
Right.
It's really, you can't look at any of the history from a linear point of view. It's like a helical shape that there's all kinds of stuff going on at once and at the same time in different directions, and they're connected. So it's not linear, not flat. Okay, hip-hop, okay, that's a little too oversimplified.
Right.
Like any complex culture, it has to be fairly complex. You have to become attractive to a multitude of folks.
Right.
Like I said, I was in Iceland once briefly, and there were, you know, I met a couple of guys that were writing graffiti
mm-hmm.
in Iceland.
Wow. Now, graffiti and murals. Sometimes I think graffiti is just like tagging a name, like you mentioned, letters. But then they go into doing murals, like you see big pictures of Tupac and Biggie and all of that. Is that still connected?
Well, yeah, because some of the participants are both muralists and graffiti writers.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they collaborate. I just recently did a mural with a fellow who's actually from New Zealand, whose major claim to fame was the huge Biggie portrait at the Five Point. His name is Owen Nippy, and he's internationally well-known and respected, and it's beautiful. It's a portrait is extraordinary, and it's all expressing it. He's phenomenal.
Right.
We did On the Corner, Broadway, and which I think is actually considered best size, a little beyond Biggie. It's a large head, all in black, white, face. The background is simply my same of graffiti, because it's at least a 70-foot by 20-foot wall, so really, you know, it's massive, and it's exactly that. It's a collaboration between a guy who's rooted in myself, which is in graffiti culture and acting his portrait, and it works quite well. It's been documented, kind of a hit.
Right.
It's worth checking out. Very Broadway.
Nice.
So there are overlap, but like Owen Diffie will tell you that he's not a graffiti artist.
What?
He doesn't give himself that title. He's mm-hmm. a portraitist. He's a muralist.
Oh.
And he's, you know, he's been doing stuff with graffiti people all the time. The one doesn't replace the other, but they can work together and they can part of the same thing.
Right. But, I mean, graffiti has grown to the point where some people hire graffiti artists to actually write on a building, etc. Has that ever happened to you?
Right. Well, yeah, I've done some, I mean, you know, I've done some, I actually did a mural right up in Miami at the outside of the Wynwood Arts Fair about a year ago. I was asked by Nick Cornelos, who's one of the main runs of the fair, to do a piece there, and I thought it was right after the I forgot the name of the high school, but it was a master with a kid full of bunch of 13
okay.
and 16
mm-hmm.
kids.
Yeah.
So I did a famous poem on the wall that was provided for me, and as a result, they used the proceeds from I was just to attract, and they used like $20,000 of this for the victims, whatever, to help the families. I don't know if that's capacity, but it was. I mean, $20,000 is a nice amount of money to give to you as a kid.
Right,
so
right.
And it was mostly a check. It wasn't, I mean, there was some, I worked along with Dan Hennepin, Sullivan, Sigmund Brown, and a couple of other guys. They did it around the central Poland, the famous one. But, I mean, that's one example of being asked to write words.
Right.
But there are many, many examples of people commissioned you from graffiti, or just a decorator, or designers, you know, like barbershops, whatever, city. Maybe the business is someone who's got a good style and a legible sort of hand to do an attractive, eye-stopping model or a mural, which is just basically, you know, not necessarily a pretty picture, but a picture, you know, with graffiti, the actual letters.
Right. So did you write a book about graffiti?
Well, I wrote a book about female graffiti, which is a graffiti that me and Bastien Chambasquia did during 1978 to 79, which got us, you know, basically put us on the map as who we were artists, and was the springboard for Bastien's career. And that was brought to him as doing these clever writing. What we were doing was, you know, it was more a social observation about, we were making social commentaries on consumerism and issues that, you know, like complacency, things like that. And that's really what came out as well. And over the decade, now that even got misconstrued and garbled. But, you know, and I was out of the picture line, so I kind of wasn't around to clarify that. But I got to the point where I was just like, this, you know, I mean, I kept reading things that were completely wrong about the people that got it completely wrong. But they didn't know what they know.
What does SAMO stand for?
SAMO doesn't stand for anything.
Oh, it was just called, the book was just called SAMO.
And it doesn't mean SAMO shit. It's based on that word.
Uh-huh.
It's a complex thing. It's based on that word.
Uh-huh.
We say that a lot.
Right.
And John reappropriated the word when he assigned it to a faith religion that he wrote an essay about, which was for our school newspaper. And at that point, SAMO was given more of a purpose. It was no longer meant SAMO.
Right.
Now it's faith religion. We thought it was hilarious. Let's spread this around as if it's a real cult. See how far we can take it. That's what it was. But it didn't mean, the word is itself. It's just, it could have been bozo. You know?
Right.
That's the word that they use. So it's a malleable product that could be anything you want it to be. It changes with whatever mood we're in. And you talk about anything, you know, through this single. It's kind of like a spokesperson or a product. It wasn't an entity. It was a product that didn't exist.
Wow.
It came from the mind of a 7-year-old. Kind of, you know, it's pretty advanced advertising.
Right. So now Destination Bed-Stuy Art, hip hop, and murals. Where's the word graffiti, and how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, it's like, perhaps like I could throw a little light on something. Because there's going to be, and I only know this because I'm a bona fide member of Community and Culture since 1971, which I think gives me some sort of clout.
Of course it does.
To clarify that, that's like, not, you know, I mean, it's like, it, imagine, I always think of like, they spend 2 hours a day, they do the hip-hop camp, and 2 hours a day, they do DJ, and then they go to do a CD, and then they go to, you know, let's go break dance for a
while. Right.
But it's like, you know, it's like saying all those members of that culture did all those, which is kind of absurd to even assume that, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's plenty of B-boys that did not write the
scene. Right.
It's just, you know, but it's become this kind of cartoon thing. The get down, they have Grandmaster Flash and some other guy, they're like the ninja superheroes. It was just like ludicrous. It's almost embarrassing.
Aww.
And I believe that many people from hip-hop and and you know, DJ culture probably were a little embarrassed. So this is totally top now. These guys like scaling walls, big things, and it's ridiculous.
So would graffiti be considered art, though?
Apparently, and it can be garbage, it can be racist, it can be okay. It's still graffiti, it's writing on the wall.
Right.
Hate, you know, a swastika is graffiti, right?
Right, right.
If it's painted on a temple, a shul, it's racist and a hate crime.
Right.
And if it's, you know, someone's name on a wall, it could be benign as well.
Right.
So it's many things. It is not one thing.
I love how you're sharing and letting us know the root of graffiti. It's because I definitely had no knowledge. I thought I combined it with hip-hop. You know, when I asked you, was hip-hop and graffiti
a
marriage?
Most people do. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's true. Like I said, it's grown in soup. It's just, you know, okay, now we understand that. What's next? Like, it's off a checklist. And you oversimplify things. Which is, you know, the 10-second soundbite of a system of educating people, and it's just not thorough. If you wanted to understand, if people who want to understand it would find out that there are some, you know, contradictions of what the information is out there. You know, there's some contradictions, such as not all the 3D artists are hip-hop band or whatever.
Right.
I just happened to have played on I did play on a kind of an iconic hip-hop tune for the Shelf Producer record for Ramel's Knee called Deep-Hop, and I played all the questions. So I, you know, I did have a contribution to my culture. That's just me. I also have contributions to the dance music culture as well.
So did it start in the Bronx? Did graffiti start in the Bronx?
I mean, like, not like with hip hop, but like, you know, they're from like the mudslongs. You know, they're like probably worse sanitation now. And like, this goes up to kind of these kind of people, and they have nothing. But it made a huge impact in the culture. Oh, and I'll tell you, you follow any of the Instagram people graffiti writers on Instagram, I've seen heated arguments about stuff.
Right.
It's almost funny because it's so like so they're so invested.
Right.
Denying it.
Right.
So, but apparently, I mean, it's obvious.
Right. Of course.
You have to give people their belief, and that's why it's a funny kind of like area for the business hip hop. And 28th is the event. The 27th, I have to go to France to go to court over a graffiti incident. So there you go.
Right.
You know, on the one hand, I'm involved with a major community event, this kind of thing, and on the other, the duality, it's mind blowing, you know.
Right.
On the other hand, I have to take a lawyer with it.
Wow.
So there you go. I mean,
right.
There's no one way to, you know, this is clear coupling. It's very, very complex.
So in this digital age, has graffiti been affected? Are there artists that's now using the digital format for graffiti?
Absolutely. It's always advanced, and there's people that do, you know, I think there's a couple of different websites. Some guys are doing what I think are generated images, brain that appears to bring the but I never see them in real life. The surveillance, man, Vandal Squad very aggressive.
They have a Vandal Squad?
I mean, there was that one guy in the game, he's like looking at like different elements all the time, looking at serious phones. They caught him in a yard. I don't know how he got in there.
How much time are they giving you guys for spray painting on things?
Something crazy like that.
But I like what you said, that they're creating in the digital age. I think that's great, because now they can keep the original format of the train, because that was the whole market platform, the trains on the, going from borough to borough, and then create new images. I think that's great, and it keeps the authenticity about it.
To a purist, old time, it's embedded. We're actually doing, living in a 3D world. We're actually doing it. So, there's no virtual reality. Right? I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff about doing that, but it's simply, that was, first of all, I'm going to be 60 this year. And all that stuff is between the ages of 12 to, say, about 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the thrill. The thrill is gone.
Right.
The long time.
Right.
Time ago. And it's just a different world.
Right.
We do what we, we do the next chapter, having art shows.
Right, and that's a great opening. How important it is to still be able to have like an art show like you're having on February 23rd at Bed-Stuy, to have people allot you space to show some of your work.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad, and I want to talk about the book and try to enlighten people. You know what's funny is, I've overheard, young people, they look at a Pacquiao thing, and they say, oh, same. And I'm like, I will ask them, just to, really to turn the burners on my last. So, what's your favorite thing of saying? And I had no clue. So that was, so what do you know about saying? Well, pretty much nothing.
Right.
That was part of my putting this together. To actually invite people, so that it's something that, not that I want to be a smart ass, but I think it works well.
Right.
It's pretty clever. And I think, I'm not the only one who thinks that. Considering our age and time, and like I said, it helped, along the career that's quite fabulous. Preposterously, it has become, he was quite huge when he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
His work has made its impact and opened doors for other minorities and all sorts. He was a gamekeeper, But people need to know, why he was doing concept.
Right. Okay. All right. So you're gonna be at Destination Bed-Stuy Art Hip Hop and Murals on February 23rd and 24th. And what can we expect? So what ages do you think now are into graffiti? I'm sure it has extended between 9 and 12.
Maybe a little bit old. Maybe from 15 to 22, maybe.
Okay.
Seems that way. It seems like kids that are high school age, they're maybe not quite as old as me. But I think there's a lot of gay culture. Because it's just kind of leave me alone. I'm an ankle young person, who has disdain for society kind of connotations with it. It kind of goes hand in hand with that.
Okay.
With any rebellious activity, rejecting rules and regulations.
Well, I'm glad I know now that graffiti is the rebellious culture of making statements, as far as well as also murals and art. But good to hear its origin. And I thank you for stopping by with us and letting us know and setting the record straight. Well, I thank you so much, Al, and I look forward to meeting you there. And thank you for giving us some insight on graffiti. We appreciate you.
Oh, it's nice talking to you. I'll have to meet you someday.
All right. Do you have a website yourself, or are you on social media where people could connect with you?
My website is funny, but I've been, taken away from my website updating, and I've been using Instagram so much, and I don't spend that much time on the computer.
Right. What's your IG?
Albert_Diaz. Okay. And my website is al-diaz.com/diaz.
All right. Well, we thank you again, and I'm glad we can stay connected with you.
All right, cool. Hopefully we'll see you at the Red Sky event.
You sure enough will.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.